It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have a God that can supply all your needs. It's a blessing that to have a God that can give you peace when you should be losing your mind. It's a blessing to have a God that can say yes when man says no. It's a blessing that has a God that can tell you you will live some more years after the doctor has said you only got 2 or 6 months left. It's a blessing. And all he asks in return is that we give him the praise and the honor and the glory that he rightly deserves and make ourselves available to him. Amen. It ain't hard to do, church family. All we need to do is just listen and be led by God the Holy Spirit. So let's thank the Lord for availability to do his good and perfect will. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for making us available. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a right mind and a do right mind that we can be available. And it's the thing that's so wonderful about it is a lot of times God doesn't want us to do anything spectacular, not anything that man would call a big deal. But when God blesses it, it is a big deal. Because you may talk or say or pray or touch somebody who's the very one that God uses to bless the entire world. And he used you as the person to set them on the right path. So, amen. Thank you, Lord. Let us go to him in prayer. We thank you now, Lord Jesus, for another opportunity to stand here at the holy dais that you have given. This is your house, Lord. This is your pulpit. These are your people. These are your words. Use me as you will, Holy Spirit, to speak with clarity and conviction. And let me be pleasing and accurate to you and in your sight. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the choir a big hand, church family. Choir, the musicians, directors, everybody. Let's just thank God for them on this morning. Giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, to the leadership of this church, deacons, trustees, auxiliary heads, to the members of Roanoke Salem, and certainly to those who are visiting from wherever it may be that you're visiting from. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this morning. Reverend Stevenson is preaching over at London this morning. It's Women's Day over there, and she is giving the word over there. So let's keep her lifted up on this Sunday morning. I would ask you please to turn to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. To my sisters and my brother in Christ, thank God for you all. I appreciate your prayers and your support, and I appreciate the ministries and the gifting that the Lord has blessed you each with in his own way. So I thank God, and I thank that you all are part of this Roanoke Salem Church family. Amen. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Ushers, you all may be seated. Thank you. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And I want to just look at verse number 31. Verse number 31. I'm going to read it both from the King James and from the NIV. Now, I've said to the church family that on this month in May, we wanted to, as much as possible, kind of fashion our messages around specific women of the Bible, since this is Women's Month. And I thank my sisters in Christ for having done so. And it's interesting because I wanted to look at some of those who are not so well known, you know, the ones that are not, that just don't easily come to mind. And this particular woman is one of those. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse number 31, simply says this in the King James: by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. It makes a little bit more sense. It's a little more clear, at least in my mind, in the NIV. It says, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. That word disobedient means the ones who did not believe. Tell the Lord amen. Church family, just for a few minutes, will you please let us reason together, and please open your hearts and open your minds to receive from this thought a rough start, but a fantastic finish. A rough start, but a fantastic finish. For many years, decades, social scientists have been telling us that the way people begin their lives is a very good indication on how they will end their lives. Amen? Brother Kevon just shared some information with us. The data is largely irrefutable. It means that it really is what it says it is. For example, people born into poverty will likely remain in poverty unless they're educated or receive some type of job skill training. Amen? People who are the victims of physical, verbal, sexual, or emotional abuse are very likely to never fully recover from that mistreatment and may grow up to become abusers themselves unless they receive the benefits of professional counseling, maybe even some medication. People born to unmarried parents are likely to repeat that cycle as adults unless they have family members or they meet people early in life who will encourage them to marry rather than simply choose to live with a significant other. What I'm saying is this: what happens to us in the formative years of our lives has a tremendous impact on who we become and what we think about others for the rest of our lives. Amen? Amen. A rough start or having a hard knock life. Y'all remember Jay-Z? Okay, some folks do. A rough start or having a hard knock life in our early years could often predict that we will have a rough finish until the ends of our lives. Now, that's what the data says, and that's what the statistics say. And there is a lot of truth in the data and in the statistics. But I thank my Lord Jesus Christ that a rough start doesn't guarantee a rough finish. Amen. In other words, it's not how and where you start in life, it's how and where you end in life. That's what matters. And that brings us to this woman, Rahab. The fact that Rahab's name is mentioned here in Hebrews 11 tells us that she had a fantastic finish to her life. I know that's right because Hebrews chapter 11 is called by some people the faith chapter. It begins with the famous definition of what faith is. And then if you read on from verses 4 through verse 32, is what some people call the hall of faith. In other words, those verses contain the names of specific individuals and what they were able to do because they had faith in, because they put their trust in Evelyn, Jehovah God. Amen. But you need to know that Rahab, although she's there, she is in that hall of faith. Rahab had a rough start in her life. The first time Rahab's name is mentioned in the Bible is not over there in Hebrews 11, but it's way back in Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua and the Israelites have not taken the promised land yet. They're camped in a place called Shittim, east of the Jordan River, and it's directly across from the city of Jericho. You know, Jericho's that city is going to come down one day soon when Joshua and the Israelites walk around it seven times, and on that seventh time they shout and the walls come tumbling down. That Jericho. Yeah, so they're not there yet, but they're directly across from Jericho, the Jordan River being the boundary. Joshua sends two spies to check out Jericho and the land surrounding Jericho. The spies go into Jericho, and they somehow make their way to Rahab's house. Now, here's the thing. Rahab was a harlot. In our modern language, Rahab was a prostitute. We got all kinds of names that we use for prostitutes. And I'm not going to get graphic, but in other words, she earned her living by selling her body to men for money. Amen. The Bible doesn't tell us about Rahab's childhood or her early years, but there's no doubt in my mind that she had to have had some type of trauma early on that resulted in the rough start she was living when the spies came to her house. There are all kinds of things in life, church family, that constitute a rough start. Not having a father in the home is a rough start. You got a daddy in the home, Brenda, but he don't look back at you. That's a rough start. Losing your mother or some significant person in your life early for, you know, death or some other reason, that's a rough start. Not having enough to eat is a rough start. Overcrowdedness where you live is a rough start. Not having adequate clothes, that's a rough start. Somebody cussing at you and telling you you're never going to amount to anything, that's a rough start. Somebody abusing you in some way when you are a child or a young person, that's a rough start. I don't know what happened to Rahab, but something happened to her that she ended up living the life of a prostitute. Amen. Just for a minute, think about the repercussions that were part of Rahab's life. Oh, we get ready to get real now. Women talked about her like she was lower than a wandering dog. I know they did. I know they did. And not just the women, the men too. Yeah, because she was a prostitute. She was an old sinner. She was a lowlife. She had no status. She wasn't anybody worth me bothering to take the time to speak to. Amen. That's one of the things that happened to her. She probably had no other female companionship other than perhaps another prostitute. The men who didn't buy Rahab's services wouldn't dare be seen talking to her. And you know they didn't treat her with any kind of respect. And the men that did buy her services most likely abused her verbally and physically from time to time. And let me say this right now, because I didn't want to say it, but the Lord said, you're going to say it, and I'm going to say it. To all of us who sometimes get it in our minds that we can look down our noses at folks and talk about them, I want you to understand something. You don't have to get paid, exchange no money to be a prostitute. Amen. The definition of a prostitute is not the fact that you and somebody negotiate on the front end how much cash is going to be exchanged. Whole lot of services have been rented on nothing more than a ticket to the concert. Amen. Been some services rented for nothing more than the price of a steak meal at the biggest restaurant in town. Been some services rented for nothing more than paying the light bill this month. I don't need to go any further. Y'all know what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, don't get yourself now ready to look down your nose at somebody and decide that you better than they are, because I don't do that. You've done something. And a prostitute is not just limited to somebody that negotiates a cash price on the front end. Amen. Whether it was by choice or by necessity, a woman or a man who sells their body for money usually lives in constant state of fear, anger, and depression. Prostitutes and sex slaves are often murdered or they commit suicide. Today, in many places all around the world, and I thank God for this, there are some government agencies and churches and private groups that work to help bring people out of the sex slave industry and the sex trade industry. But Rahab didn't have any kind of help back in her day. But in spite of everyone and everything that was against Rahab, she did have one thing going for her. Rahab had heard about Jehovah God, and she made a decision to put her faith in him. Rahab's faith in God guaranteed that her rough start would end in a fantastic finish. Allow me, if you will, to just briefly summarize the second chapter of Joshua. A lot of men were always in and out of Rahab's house. You read it for yourself. I'm not making this up. Somebody saw the two Israelites, these two strangers, and they got word to the king of Jericho that these strangers were there. The king sent word to Rahab, and he demanded that she turn over the spies. Rahab told the messengers that the men had been in her house, but she lied and said that they had gone away. They hadn't gone away. Rahab had taken them upstairs on the roof, and she had put them under these big old pile of flax stalks, and she was hiding them under this big pile of flax stalks until it got dark. She told those messengers they had gone down the road somewhere. If you go chasing after them, I'm sure you catch up with them, but they were just right on top of the roof. In verses 8 through 11, Rahab tells the spies that she knows that their God, Jehovah, is the true God of heaven and on earth. She tells the spies she's heard about how Jehovah God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and killed Pharaoh and his army. She's heard how Jehovah God has destroyed all the kings and all the armies that have tried to stop the Israelites as they are marching towards Canaan, which is the promised land. And she says she knows Jehovah is going to give Jericho to and all of Canaan to the Israelites. Rahab didn't grow up worshiping Jehovah God, but when she heard all about God and all that he was doing for the Israelites, she made a conscious decision to believe in God. Rahab saw the evidence of Jehovah God's authority and his power. That ought to be a blessing to some of us. You may not have grown up in the church. You may not have ever read the Bible. You may not have heard the Bible on books on tape. But somewhere along the line, if you can just hear the name of Jesus, if somebody will just talk to you about the goodness of the Lord, the power in the name and the authority of Jesus is enough to make somebody believe. Oh, give God some glory on that one. Yeah, you might not run up in here every Sunday, but if you hear about the name of Jesus and you trust him enough to call on his name, I guarantee you he'll come see about you. Glory to the Lord. I'm talking about Rahab today, church family, because her story can bless all of us. Rahab is a perfect example that having a rough start doesn't mean you can't have a fantastic finish. Sometimes we have a rough start, it's on our own fault. Now I don't want to make it be, now I ain't going to make it be like, oh, it's just, oh, poor is me, the circumstance. No, sometimes I've done some stuff. Sometimes I've been wrong, and that's why I've had a rough start. But that don't matter neither. My rough start don't mean I can't have a fantastic finish if I'm connected to Jesus Christ. Yeah, she can bless us all, because even if you're in a rough place in your life right now, choose to put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you will have a fantastic finish. Can I tell you about somebody who's been in the news recently? And I don't know if she's a believer or not. Don't matter, because the fact of the matter is, Jesus is the God of everybody. You ain't got to call his name, and he'll still set your path right if he want to. Whole lot of folk been blessed by the Lord, don't give him no credit. They don't recognize his God's grace on them, even though they don't recognize him. But let me tell you about somebody that's been in the news recently, and she had a rough start. God knows she's got a fantastic finish. Her name is Meghan Markle. Y'all heard about her? Meghan Markle is now the Duchess of Sussex. She's married to Prince Harry. And she's now part of the royal family. And she ain't got a bit more business being there than you and me. Amen. Now, not according to what the world would say. I got just as much business being there as she has, according to what the world says. Think about it now. Let's what it is. First of all, she's an American. She's not even part of the British Empire. She's not even a citizen of Great Britain. Second of all, she's biracial. Everybody else up in there is a white Anglo-Saxon. She's biracial, white father, black mama. Then the third thing that ought to be against her, she's been married before. She's a divorcee. What they say, three strikes you out? She got all three. She struck out. American marrying somebody in the British royal family, you biracial, and you a divorcee. And the fact of the matter is, she had a rough start in her life too. Because, and if this information is wrong, I got it from Julianne. I can do that. No, but she checks this stuff out. Meghan Markle's mama and daddy met and married, but he already had two children by another woman. By all accounts, those two children, Meghan's half-brother and sister, treated her poorly and treated her mama badly. And her daddy didn't have enough backbone at that time to stand up to his family because he loved the woman and he married her. But he didn't have enough backbone at that time to stand up to his family. And so the pressures of his family and his two older children constantly, you know, being on him and getting on him about being married to this woman eventually led to their divorce. Meghan and her mama weren't poverty stricken, but they struggled for a while. But she was a good mama, did all she could to look out for her daughter. And by all accounts, Meghan was pretty much a good daughter. And then look how God fixed it. The girl was able to get into acting. That was her passion. Not only did she get into acting, she got into a few movies. Then she got on a very successful TV show called Suits and was doing well. She was already, from her rough start, she already had a good finish that was coming along because she was doing all right. But then God had another plan. Because God wanted to show the world, I'm God and I do what I want to. So he takes this American, biracial, already married, divorced one-time woman, and he allows the right circumstances to happen for her to meet a man who would be the future king of England, other than the fact that he's got an older brother that was standing in his place. But still, he about do about what he want to. And the two of them meet and fall in love. So from her rough start, and God says, I'll make your enemies your footstool. I'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemy. Not only do her father and her brothers and sisters know how she's rolling, the whole world knows how she's rolling now. So from a rough start, Meghan Markle ended up with a fantastic finish. Now, we don't know how that story is going to turn out. I pray the Lord they'll stay together. But still, it's already proven, don't matter how you start. It's how you end up that counts. Amen. Let me get back to Rahab and tell you how this story ends here in Joshua. She makes a deal with the spies. Rahab makes this deal with the two spies. She says she'll help them escape the king if they promise to spare her life and the lives of all her family members when the Israelites come to attack Jericho. The spies agree. Rahab helps the spies get out of Jericho. She told them to go hide in the hills for 3 days before they return to Joshua and the rest of the Israelites waiting on the other side of the Jordan River. They listen, they get back safely. If you move fast forward to chapter 6 of Joshua, we learn that after the walls of Jericho came down and the Israelites came in and attacked, they saved Rahab and her family just as they promised they would do. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? See, she didn't just help any old spies. She helped the right spies. See, God had it already fixed that so that he knew who he needed to put in her house. So when the time of help came, he knew who was going to help her. Amen. But you know what? As good as that is, that ain't even the end of the story. Because there was a fantastic finish waiting for Rahab. You see, sometimes in the years after she helped those spies, Rahab married a man named Salmon. And they had a son named Boaz. And Boaz married a woman named Ruth. And the genealogy of Boaz and Ruth includes David, the king of Israel. And it also goes directly down to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. There's no logical, there's no sensible reason to believe that a woman living in sin as a prostitute would become the foremother of the sinless, blameless, holy Son of the Most High God. But it did happen. It did happen, and it's recorded right here in the Word. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Let me suggest to you that during Rahab's transition from a rough start to a fantastic finish, three things happened. She believed in God, her sins were forgiven, and then she continued to trust and obey God. If you want your rough start to change into a fantastic finish, these same three things need to happen in your life. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you may be doing right now. If you choose to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and you're willing to surrender your life to him, your rough start, your rough place that you're in right now will be turned into a fantastic finish. Number one, you need to believe in Jehovah God. 1 Chronicles 17:20, it says, O Lord, there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Rahab didn't meet Jesus. Rahab didn't meet John, meet God. Rahab didn't even meet a priest. Rahab met two folks who were in connection with the man of God. But even before the spies got there, the word says that she had already heard about Jehovah God, and she made up her mind to believe. Number two, you need God to forgive your sins. Number two, you need God to forgive your sins. If you want to come out of your rough start and have a fantastic finish, you need to ask the Lord to forgive your sins. But listen here. Here's the good thing about it. 1 John 1:9, y'all have heard me say it a million times. You ought to be able to repeat it with me. It says, but if we confess our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And not only that, he'll cleanse us from all the unrighteousness of our sins. Then the third thing you need to trust and obey God. You need to trust and obey God. Trying to go from a rough start or a rough place in your life right now to a fantastic finish. Third thing, you need to trust and obey God. Y'all know this one too because it's my favorite. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Stop trying to figure it out and do it yourself. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Give it to the Lord. Pray about everything, and the Lord will direct your path. Now, that's the trust part. Here's the obey part. It's verse number 7. Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart. Stop doing what's wrong. It ain't as hard as you think. You say you want to lose 15 pounds in 3 months because you want to go to the class reunion, right? You want to go to that girl's wedding, that guy's wedding. You want to get your beach body, which I ain't had a beach body in so long. If I found it, I'd be afraid of it. But we can discipline ourselves to do those things if we want to. Yeah, we can discipline ourselves to do those things. We take yoga, We say we're going to read more, we're going to learn a new language. We discipline ourselves to do everything that we really want to do. And you can discipline your mind to say, mind, I'm not going to keep on thinking this way. Mouth, I'm not going to keep on talking this way. Body, I'm not going to keep on doing what I've been doing. It ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be easy. Because once you got in the habit of doing something, it's hard to let it go. But you don't have to do it by yourself. Ask the Lord to help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen you. He'll make a way of escape of any temptation of your mind, your mouth, or your body if you ask him to. Reason why a lot of times we get in trouble, we don't stop and ask the Lord to help us. And then after the fact, we say, well, you know, I couldn't help myself. Yes, you could. Yeah, I could have helped myself. I just didn't want to in that moment. But I thank God that he's a caring, merciful God. And even after he chastises me, even after he punishes me for my sin, he tempers it with mercy. And what should happen is the more you walk with God and the more you see his goodness and the more you see his favor in your life, you ought to want to live right more. And your being in a sinful state should be the exception and not the rule. Amen. So three things if you want to go from a rough start or a rough place to a fantastic finish. Believe in God, ask God to forgive your sins, and trust and obey God. I'm closing now with this thought. How you end is more important than how you begin. Rahab's rough start did not destroy her chance to have a fantastic finish. And Rahab's not the only one. Moses had a rough start in his life. Matter of fact, his mama had to hide him and put him in a basket on the Nile River because the Pharaoh of Egypt wanted all the Israelite boys killed. But we know that he had a fantastic finish. Joseph had a rough start. His brothers were jealous of him because he was his father's favorite son, and he was arrogant. He was arrogant, but they still shouldn't have done him like they did. He ended up being a slave. He ended up in jail, but he still had a fantastic finish. Ruth had a rough start. She was married. She was happy, minding her own business. Her father-in-law died. Her brother-in-law died, and then her own husband died. And she had to go. She made a decision to go back with her mother-in-law to her mother-in-law's homeland and to be with her mother-in-law's people and to worship her mother-in-law's God. And because she was obedient and faithful in her love and care and concern of Naomi, she had a fantastic finish. Esther had a rough start. She didn't want to be the queen. She wasn't caring about being the queen. She was happy in her little village out there in the land. But then when the king got mad at his wife and got rid of her and said, every village in my property, in my territory, has to send me one woman to be their representative. When Esther got there and the king took a look at her, it was over. Contest was over before he even started. She didn't want to be queen. He made a queen. Her life was in danger because she was an Israelite. But we know she had a fantastic finish. And then last but not least, and I love this one, this is Hannah. Hannah wanted a son. She had a husband that she loved dearly. All she wanted to do was give her husband a son because she knew that would please him. But at that time, her womb was barren. At that time, she wasn't ready. The Lord didn't want her to have a son. But the Bible says that she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and she prayed until God remembered her. And then he opened up her womb, and she didn't just have a son, she had Samuel, one of the greatest prophets in the history of the world. What I'm saying is your rough start does not destroy or deny the opportunity to have a fantastic finish. And if you will give your life to Jesus Christ, if you will ask him to forgive your sins, do your very best to trust and obey him, you will have a fantastic finish. And here's the good thing. Jesus knows exactly where we are because he had a rough start in his life too. See, we remember Jesus, the little boy in the manger and, you know, and the cows and the sheep and all that and the three wise men with the silver and gold and all that stuff. But before any of that happened, then what happened? Jesus' mom and daddy had to run. They had to get out of the land because Herod wanted to kill him. Herod was killing every boy child that was born at a particular time trying to get to Jesus. So he had a rough start. He had to live with his parents, not in poverty, but in hiding for the first 30 years of his life. And we don't know a whole lot about him. We know he shows up here and there in the temple one time, but we don't know a whole lot about it. But just the fact that he was the Son of God, but he had to also be man and go through all the afflictions of man. Jesus got colds too. Jesus cut his finger too. Jesus stomped his toe too. And think about it. Jesus, by all accounts, was an illegitimate child. Everybody knew that Joseph wasn't his father. Don't you think Jesus didn't get bullied too? He got bullied too. All that stuff. Jesus had a rough start. But Lord knows he had a fantastic finish. Because when the time came for him to step out on the world stage, he was about his father's business. So that's why he went around opening blind eyes and opening deaf ears and raising people from the dead. That's why he went around preaching peace. That's why he went around telling people to repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. You might be sinning now, but you ain't got to stay in sin. I'm telling you, you need to get it together because the Lord is on his way. And he went around doing nothing but good for folks. He was the greatest champion of women in the history of the world. He was the greatest champion of poor people in the history of the world. He was the greatest champion of the marginalized people in the history of the world. But that won't what gave him his fantastic finish. What gave him his fantastic finish is when he one day said, Lord, I know the time is coming. I know what you called me here to do, Father, but I ain't sure I want to go up on that cross. Bible says he went out in the Garden of Gethsemane and said that he sweated until blood started to drop from his body. Have you ever sweated till blood came out of you? So worried, so upset. But at the end of it all, he made up his mind. He said, I know what I came for, and I'm going to do what I came to do. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And he went on to Calvary's cross. They beat him so bad his own mama didn't recognize him. But he was headed for a fantastic finish. They whipped him all night long, but he was headed for a fantastic finish. They put him on that cross by driving a train rail stakes in his hands and in his feet, but he was headed for a fantastic finish. They pierced him in his side. His blood came out, but he was headed for a fantastic finish. He didn't say a mumbling word other than, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even while he was dying on that cross for sins we committed, he didn't curse us, he blessed us. Asked his Father to forgive us because he was headed for a fantastic finish. Let them put him in a borrowed tomb. Stay there all Friday night. Stay there Saturday, all Saturday night. But then the Bible says they're early on that Sunday morning. That's when that fantastic finish came, because Jesus got up with all power in heaven, on earth, under the earth, all power entrusted in the name of Jesus. And because he got up, we can have a fantastic finish. I don't care where you are, what's going on. You give your life to Jesus. I guarantee you, based on his word, you will have a fantastic finish. Give the Lord some praise.